Hi, it's Kate from ADHDKidsCanThrive.com, and today I am here with a very special guest. His name is Kirk from Calm Parenting, and you can find him at celebratecalm.com. Kirk, so nice to meet you face to face.
Kate, it's awesome to meet you.
You're welcome. I have lots of questions for you. I think probably the best place to start with is your own personal story and journey on how you support kids who have ADHD as well as kids who have any challenges from any kind of diagnosis. But today we're going to specifically talk about ADHD. But if you could just tell us a little bit about your journey, that would be a good start.
Awesome. I'll do a quick version. So okay. Our son, who is 29 now, had the alphabet soup of all the labels, right? And so we tried everything, nothing really worked. And then I realized, well, I was the one who needed to change most. So we started this organization. Originally, it was Celebrate ADHD. That's why Celebrate Calm is kind of a dumb name. Everybody thinks it's like a yoga thing. So it was Celebrate ADHD to take advantage of the positive traits that kids have. So we started inviting kids into our home. So rather than one-on-one therapy, we'd have 8, 10, 12 kids with ADD, ADHD on the spectrum in our home so we could teach them how to deal with changes in plans, because our kids don't deal well with that,
right,
to disappointment, how to deal with impulse control, emotional self-regulation. So over the course of a decade, we had about 1,500 kids actually come through our home. And so today we just do primarily training with the parents. So we've got a podcast and we travel around to schools. And so that's what we do now.
But it's, okay, you do parent education. Do you do teacher education as well?
Yes, Kate. We do.
Okay.
Because teachers don't get trained in this. So
right.
They don't know what to do with the kid who's got a little bit of energy. And they, like us as parents, they misinterpret what these kids are doing. And then these kids get recess taken away. They shut down in class. And there are some simple things in the classroom that you can do to help support these kids.
Right. Okay. So I think in my own journey with my own family, I had to learn probably the parent has the most control over helping the family situation, both at school and the home, go better.
Yeah.
So you're clearly your business is focused on parent education. So share with us how the parent can impact defiant children. It can be really hard in the house, as we all know. It's brutal. And it can start at a very young age, and then it really picks up again, I think, when hormones kick in. So when you have teenagers as well. Walk us through, why does a parent need to get educated, and how do you help them get educated to? And does it really work?
Okay.
Does it change things?
I'll give three examples, one for a younger kid, one for, say, a elementary school age, and then maybe one for the middle school, high school, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's great.
And kind of show a different way of looking at this. Couple of foundational principles are these, and they're counterintuitive because with the strong-willed child or that ADHD child, we want to try to fix them, right? It's like, how do we kind of get them to stop doing these things? The first thing we have to do is learn to control ourselves, because we misinterpret a lot of situations with these kids. So let me do this one. Will be really quick. Say you have a lot of our kids with ADHD are also struggle with perfectionism. They need things to be just so. They're very, very particular. And when things don't go the right way, then they explode. So here's a simple one. Got a little kid. He's making a paper airplane. He throws it. It doesn't fly the way he wants it to. Well, to neurotypical kids, maybe to you or other people, it's like, well, no big deal. I'll just pick up the airplane and I'll make another one. Well, the child with ADHD who already in ways feels like he's fighting the world, right? Because things are tougher for these kids. And we don't always recognize that things that are simple, maybe to us, are mentally and emotionally taxing to them. That's why oftentimes when they come home from school, there's a big meltdown that they save for mom or dad.
Right.
So they throw the airplane. It doesn't fly well. So they pick it up and they start crumpling it. Stupid airplane, stupid. I'm stupid. And you get a lot of that talk of I'm dumb, I'm stupid. So a normal mom or dad's going to say, oh, honey, that was a good airplane, which is the worst thing to say, because here's what the child's thinking. No, it's not. If it was a good airplane, it would have flown, duh. And then comes the defiance of like, you're stupid, the airplane's stupid. And now as a parent, you're like, "What? How is this happening? He was just flying an airplane. And now your whole afternoon is held hostage to this child. You will find that you spend 85% of your energy just managing this child's emotions, and the other kids kind of get neglected, right? And then you're caught like, what do I do? So here's a quick little one. See, this has nothing to do at the moment with changing the child. It is my response first, because if I were to look at that child and say, you know what? If I were you, I'd be frustrated too. You spent a lot of time working on that airplane and it didn't fly. That's frustrating. The validation of that. Now watch what I didn't say. I didn't say, if I were you, I'd punch a hole in the wall. If I were you, I'd hit your sister, right? They often do that, but that's
right.
A couple things. And we only have, I know this is quick. So a few things, intensity. Intensity with an intense child is often very calming, because when we say, oh, honey, it was a good airplane, that makes it feel like you're not taking it seriously. When I say, if I were you, I'd be frustrated too. That is instantly validating. And I just want you to try that as parents, to watch the child's response to that, because that often resets them. Now we can move to problem solving. So what do you want to do right now? And oftentimes I will do something else with them in the moment just to get some space, so that then they can go back to building the airplane or doing something different. But for this purposes of this, control yourself and use that intensity and try that this week. See how it works when your child is getting really upset. That's
right. To validate their feelings versus like, I think parents get stuck in that trap of escalating it. Right. Yeah. Because
I don't know why they're not getting
over. Right. They're not getting over it. And it just continues on and on and on, whatever the drama is, because they kind of get stuck.
They get
stuck. And then the parents start getting escalating, because it's like, you got to get over this and move on, right? Because like, I got to, as a parent, like I got to make dinner, or we need to start your homework. Like, we need to recover from this and move on. So then I think parents get caught in that trap, right? Of escalating things with their child, because it's harder for them to get on. So you're saying to like validate their frustration and then maybe give it space for a little bit to just like everybody calm down. And then
Space is great. If you can get them to do something else, like our phrase is motion changes emotion. Motion or movement is a really powerful tool. So if I say this example, and I say, oh, you know what I could use some help with? Could you go to the cabinet? Could you go to the pantry and get some spaghetti sauce? Could you get that top off for me? I give them in that moment something they're in control of. I create a success so that they go, they get that done, they go and they do something for me and bring it up from the basement. It gives them a little bit of space to adjust, to reset. I get to reset. And now it's just a little bit more calm. And I think that's the de-escalating part. It's actually much quicker, instead of, oh, honey, there's no need to be upset. Look, I hope nobody finds this offensive, okay, but that's what I did to my wife all this. That's what men do to their wives. Honey, there's no need to be upset, because what we're really saying is, I don't really know what to do with your emotions, and I feel like I have to fix it. And moms and dads, I want you to know, you don't have to fix those emotions. The child will work through it if you lead them in it. But usually what happens is we react and then it just escalates and it's bad.
Right.
So just try that this week with that. Just see what happens.
Okay. All right, good.
Okay.
What's another second example?
Anxiety issues. Most of the kids we work with ADD, ADHD, also struggled with anxiety. They have very busy brains, a lot of going on and up there. And it makes it feel like they're not in control of themselves. And that's why they try to control everybody else. They're bossy, can't play board games with them. They want to eat the same thing all the time, wear the same clothes. It's all about argue. Some of that is just, I want to create this order and structure and prove my point. But the other part is anxiety, because anxiety is caused by unknown. So here's the quick version. You ask your child, hey, do you want to do Taekwondo this summer? And they're like, sure, sign me up. A week goes by, you come home. Hey, we got to roll. Not, you know, my stomach's upset. Could we just stay home tonight? I promise we'll go next week. No, here's what we're going to do. If we leave right now, we'll go to McDonald's. We'll get a Happy Meal. Everybody will be happy. Bribery doesn't work. And then we do this thing. You know, Kate, I paid $145 for that class. Your little butt's going to be there, right? It doesn't work. And right. Eventually, as we're dragging them to the car, we get that same response. No, I'm not going. Taekwondo, stupid. You are stupid. And that's when we react and say, you know what? You will get your little butt in the car. Your sister does not give me any problems. And it just blows up. And the shortened version of it is, we hear defiance and disrespect. I'm not going. You can't make me. And we react to it. We play right into it. And why I want us to respond differently is, when I can step backwards and I look at that child and I think, why is this child swearing at me in the driveway? When you can't figure it out, it's often anxiety. So then the light bulb goes off and I look down at my child and say, wait, is your stomach a little bit upset? And they're usually, you're just nervous. It's perfectly normal. You see, I'm normalizing anxiety. You should be a little bit nervous. You're going to a new place where you don't know anybody. And these kids struggle with getting along with their peers, right? So they usually get along with little kids, animals, older kids, adults, but their peers, they struggle. They struggle with following directions. So what goes through their brains is, I'm going to this new place and the adult may be impatient. I might get picked on and I might fail. So it makes sense to me that they'd say, no, you're stupid, because then they get sent to their bedrooms and they don't have to go and face down their anxiety. But if I were to look at them and normalize the anxiety, nothing wrong with you. It's normal. Your stomach should be a little bit upset because you're going to a new place. It's kind of hard. So the tool we give for that, and this will help maybe with summer camp or things you're doing this summer, wherever your kids go, ask another adult to give your child a specific job to do. So if you went a week ahead of time to Taekwondo place and said, hey, Taekwondo guy, my son's going to be in your class. He loves helping other people, because your kids, how many of your kids are awesome for other people? They're just horrible for you as the parent. So if that Taekwondo guy says, listen, Jacob, I need your help. I want you here 5 minutes early every week. You're going to rearrange the mat, set up the cones. You up for that? Most of your kids are going to be like, I can do that. So next week when I come home and say, Jacob, we have Taekwondo, what triggers in the child's brain isn't all the anxiety. It's mom, dad, he said to be there 5 minutes early, so we have to leave like 45 minutes early so we're not late, right? Like that's the anxiety. And then they have a job. See, missions and jobs are really good for these kids. And that will get them there. And so the point is, what often looks like defiance and disrespect is often frustration or anxiety. And if we can help our kids deal with their anxiety and frustration, we can get them to do those things without all the big meltdowns and defiance.
Right. Very good. Okay. And then do you have a story when they're teenagers?
Okay. Here's a quick one.
Hormones are going.
There are lots of different ways to handle it, but this is one that I like. So my son was about 13. He'd come at me with that tone. You know what that tone is. You have every right to say, young man, young woman, you will not talk to me like that, to your room for the rest of your life. Because that's basically all we do, right? Go to your room. So I step back this one time and I said, Casey, here's what I've noticed. The last 43 times you've used that tone with me. And I encourage you, look, your kids do this stuff over and over again. So recognize the pattern. The last 43 times you've talked to me like that, it usually has told me that you're anxious, you're frustrated, or you're hungry. So two options. You may continue to talk to me like that if you want. See, I'm staying very even. I'm not getting upset. I'm not getting frustrated. You can talk to me like that, but it's not going to work well for you, and you're going to lose all your stuff. But if you want to get some chips, I'll grab some salsa. I'll meet you out on the deck. I'll help you with whatever you're struggling with. chips and salsa. I kind of joke about it, but it's true. That eating chips and salsa with my son saved our relationship because I was always on him. You can't talk to your father like that, right? Like that. And the basics of it was this. I'm stepping back, and instead of reacting, I'm identifying and giving some wisdom to say, hey, something else is going on here.
Yeah,
I want to help you out with that. Otherwise, it's just not going to end well. And then the motion changes, the motion, the movement. You go get some chips. I get some salsa. I don't like doing the things like, we need to talk about your attitude right now, young lady. Like, when has that ever worked? Like, in the moment. Yeah. So it bought us 2 or 3 minutes to move to a separate place. There's that space that you talked about. I'm in a different place. He's in a different place. Now I can say, and I'll close with this, I'm curious, Casey. You know that when you talk to me like that, you end up losing your stuff. So I'm curious, what's going on that would lead you to do something that hurts you, mm-hmm. right? So now I'm the adult who's problem solving rather than just taking it personally. I can't believe my child would talk to me like that. And I'd much rather be the problem solver than just be angry and upset all the time.
Right. And so it just takes a little, it takes practice, right? And you sound like every parent.
Yes, because
around the world and other kids.
That's what we all do.
And has Casey turned into be a pretty amazing adult?
He is a very amazing adult. I always joke he was a horrible kid, but he's an amazing adult. He wasn't horrible, but you know what? All the traits that irritated us when he was a little kid are the very traits that he uses now to be successful.
In a positive way.
That strong will. Now he's very independent, take charge. He had a messy room as a kid. His home is spotless now. So parents, chill. It'll be okay. Don't project in the future. If you ever need anything, if you reach out to our organization, you will actually email or talk to our son, Casey. So he does a lot of the forward, and you'll find he's an amazing young man, and it'll give you hope that your child's going to be okay.
Yeah, so. That's great. Okay. All right. So if you do all kinds of various training, I saw again, it's at celebratecalm.com. And I know on social media, you're really good at laying out these kind of examples as well with like proper response. And then there's all kinds of training and different opportunities to engage with you as well. And Casey, to get training to help get your family back on track. I think the main thing, I mean, I just get hope from you too, is you can't let these defiant moments like destroy your family.
I'd look at as hard as is, look at it as an opportunity to teach and to really dig in deep inside your child and find out what's going on. You're not excusing it and saying it's okay. You're just saying something else is going on. And so, yeah, if we can help, we do a Calm Parenting podcast. So I think there are like 200 episodes. So if people are interested, watch that and just reach out to us and tell us that you've met us through Kate, and then it makes it a little bit more personal for us.
Okay. So. That's terrific.
Awesome. Right. Thank you, Kate.
This goes fast. And there's a lot to say. So please reach out to Kurt if you need more help and more education. I appreciate your time today.
All right. Thanks, Kate.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.